This is Vectis Radio. For the people, by the people.
I'm Caroline Diamond and I'm here in the studio with Lauren Roberts. And we've got a very special guest this afternoon. I'm delighted to introduce Chris Van Wyk from Bunbury Bees. And he's going to talk to us all about honey and bees. And we don't know anything really, do we, Lauren?
We don't, but I'm quite excited to learn about bees now, actually.
We are not the bee experts at all. So I'm hoping, Chris, that you'll be able to give us the answers to the questions that you've probably been asked a million times before. So how did you first get interested in beekeeping? Because it's not, to me, the most obvious sort of career direction.
No, absolutely. I tell people that it's a family thing, but actually I do then go on to tell people it's quite a recent family thing. So about 9 years ago, my mum retired from her job, and she made, in the run-up to her retirement, she made a list of things that she wanted to do in her retirement.
Great, I love that idea.
It was quite a long list, and she's ticked off an awful lot of those things, and one of them was beekeeping. But one of the things that people don't realise about beekeeping is quite how much heavy lifting there is in it, and she found this out very quickly in first getting involved in it. And so it was announced to me that a bee suit was going to be bought for me, and I would be helping with the lifting.
How old were you then?
I'm sorry?
You weren't a 5-year-old at the time.
No. This was only about 9 years ago.
Okay.
I wish I was 9 years ago. And then I just became fascinated. You know, I'd be looking over her shoulder going, well, what's that then? And, you know, why are you doing this?
Mm.
And I actually found that I was really interested in myself. So after a season with helping her, I got a first hive of my own, really, as a hobby. And then hives grow as animals do, they multiply. And so the next year, my hive split into two. And then the year after that, it was four. And then we had an extraordinary year where four became about 20.
Wow.
At which point, there was quite a lot of honey, more honey than I could eat personally. And sort of cogs started whirring in my brain, thinking, well, how would you go about making a career out of this? And that's where we've been going the last few years to try and...
So how do you actually get started then? Because, you know, I assume you don't go on eBay and buy a swarm of bees. How do you get your bees and how does it work?
Well, actually, you can buy bees online.
Oh, which can
is,
you?
It is something that I would actually... I'd really recommend not doing. People I know who have done that have had a terrible time with it, because you just don't know what those bees are going to be like. The easiest route on the Isle of Wight is through the Isle of Wight Beekeepers Association.
Okay.
And they have a facility at Core Abbey where...
Oh, yes.
That's right. They both... they run courses, which have a bit of a waiting list, but it's not too long.
Mm.
And also they have a Rearing Island Bees project there. So if you call the association to collect a swarm of bees, that is then taken to an area at Core Abbey where they're then checked over, they're checked for their health, they're quarantined for a little while. They're checked for their temperament as well, because some bees are easy to work with and some bees are psychotic.
Really?
And it can take a couple of weeks to get to know what the temperament of a hive of bees is, and then selected ones that are appropriate for beginners are available for sale there. But there is something to get to know.
It's really
first.
Funny, isn't it?
It is, isn't it?
I meet an awful lot of people who say, oh, I've thought about getting a hive of bees in my back garden, and you drill down into how much they've thought about it, and it's, I like honey, honey comes from bees, I'll put a hive in my garden and honey will happen, and there's a couple of steps between hive in the garden and honey will happen, more than people anticipate.
And when you said about the behaviour, so you're not talking about the behaviour of an individual bee and the personality, it's the whole hive. So you could have a psychotic,
yes, absolutely,
a psychotic hive.
So yes, they take their trait from the queen. So in a hive will be one queen, and then the behaviour is almost entirely down to genetics, and all of the worker bees will be daughters of the queen.
I see.
And then your hives do develop a personality.
Wow.
So I have one at my St. Helens apiary which hates only me. So my partner Kate has no problem with them. The people who own that land have no problem with them. And I get stung by that hive every week.
Really?
They've taken against me personally. Now, They are just bees. I don't think that they're looking at me going, we hate him. I don't think they're capable of that level of thought. But something about me or the way that I do things, they dislike and they don't mind other people.
Interesting. Right, we'll have some more music. This is a tune by Danny Minogue, and then we'll talk a little bit more about bees. That's Danny Minogue and the song called Jump to the Beat. And we've just been talking with Chris from Bunbury Bees all about beekeeping and being stung by bees, which I think is something we ought to talk a little bit more about, because I remember at school them having an EpiPen in case people had anaphylactic shock. But that can not just from bee stings, it can be from allergies and things, can't it? But you were saying that you don't think there are so many people that are allergic to bee stings as perhaps we might think.
No, so the reaction to a bee sting, the natural reaction, is a lot like an allergic reaction to other things. You will swell, and the swelling for someone who's not become resistant to them, as I have through just having been stung an awful lot, is alarming. So when I was very new to it, I had a sting in the foot, which had my foot swell up to the point that I couldn't wear shoes for 3 days. It's the bee sting is an unpleasant experience, and an awful lot of people will then decide that they're allergic to it. They'll self-diagnose as that, but actual doctor's diagnosis of a dangerous allergy to a bee sting is much less usual. And so if you are stung by a bee, normally over-the-counter medication will be just fine for that. If you're not getting shortness of breath or your tongue swelling or anything like that, you're going to be all right. It's the fifth most painful insect sting in the world.
Is it really?
Yeah, the European honeybee. The number four is the European wasp, though. Which
okay.
I did get a side-by-side comparison a couple of years ago, and the wasp is worse. I'd not been stung by a wasp since I was a child, and I thought I was going to be all right. Mm. Having been stung by bees for years and a lot, I thought, I'll be fine with this. And then, actually, my bottom lip was a long way out. It was a horrible experience compared to the bee sting. And then the three above that are wonderful things like the tarantula wasp and the bullet ant and extravagant things like this, which are apparently just awful, awful things to be stung by.
So do some of the bees just not sting you? Have you got sort of friendly bees that don't sting?
So yeah, absolutely. So we put on protective equipment as a matter of course when we do our beekeeping as a precaution, because if you do something wrong, even mild beehives, which we try to breed for, our bees to be mild and easy to work with. But even mild ones, if for example I my fingers slip and I drop a part of the bee, the beehive or part of equipment into the bees, that vibration will make them cross and you may end up getting stung.
Is it movement that annoys them then?
Vibration is a really bad thing.
Because I know sometimes, you might go out for something to eat or something, be sitting outside a pub and a bee will come along and some people will get up and start waving, newspapers at it and jumping around.
Absolutely.
And you're thinking, is that going to help? Or
no. Absolutely not. No. So with bees and wasps, keeping still and not annoying them is usually your better course, because movement will, and then hitting them or swatting them, if you don't kill them outright in one go, they'll be coming back at you for sure. But the triggers for my bees most often are damaging the honeycomb and vibrating the hive, and that's with wild colonies as well. That's so the same, not just with the honeybee, but with bumblebees and wasps. Particularly machinery, they really don't like lawnmowers and things like this. That can set even nice bees off, and the bumblebees and the wasps as well have a particular dislike for that kind of thing.
So, what questions do people ask you most often then, as a beekeeper?
It's often, how often do I get stung? It's usually numbers. I've lost count this year already. I think I'm over 10. Most of my stings happen at the end of the year. They don't like it when you're taking the honey off. So in about a month's time, I'll start harvesting the honey from the hives. I've had a little bit already, but the main harvest comes towards the end of July, and that is a time when I then get stung an awful lot. I lost count last year at 30. I've developed quite a good resistance, so it still hurts, but I don't swell anymore.
No.
And so I become a little bit less into how often I'm stung, but it does happen. So people ask that. They ask, is it true if bees die when they sting you, which is true for the honeybee. I only learnt this year that the bumblebee doesn't. The bumblebee has a smooth stinger like a wasp, and so can sting you as much as they like.
It's okay. Just,
bumblebees are so laid back, they usually don't sting you. People ask us how many bees are in a hive.
I was thinking that, actually.
Yeah, that's a very common one. So a good hive that's big enough to be producing honey is usually about 20,000.
Wow.
Compared to if you have a bumblebee nest in your back garden, you'll probably have less than 200 in there. And the traffic as well. So a bumblebee nest, you'll have a bee in and out probably 2 a minute. Whereas if you watch my hives at this time of year, you're seeing sort of probably 20, 30 coming in and out every minute at least, possibly more if there's a really good nectar flow on, as there is at the moment. They're really busy right now.
Are they?
Yeah.
Do they like the hot weather?
Yes. So my concern at the minute is things getting dry. We're all right at the moment because the plants that are giving nectar at this time of year are quite deep rooted. So
okay.
We become very obsessed with bramble at this time of year. That's a really, really good source of nectar. And so bramble is quite good. It's deep rooted. So if it stays dry for too many more weeks without a splash of water, the plants will stop giving nectar and then we'll be in trouble. But as the bramble finishes, which we've probably got less than a month of, the end of season things are quite shallow rooted things, and so they would need a splash or two of water. So I'm sorry if my prayers bring about any rain that annoys anybody else out there, but we need it a little bit.
Right, let's hear from the Boomtown Rats and then we'll carry on after a word from our sponsors.
Familiar.
That's Ward Thomas and a song called Cartwheels. Well, it's coming up to 25 to 3 now on this Thursday afternoon, and I'm in the studio with Lauren Roberts and Chris Van Wyk from Bunbury Bees, and we've been talking all sorts of things about honey and beehives and how Chris first got involved with beekeeping. But one of the questions that I wanted to ask was, what do people do with the honey? I know that sounds fairly obvious, but they put it on toast, and what sort of things do people come up to you and ask for recipes? Or
yes, so we don't get asked for recipes quite so much, but people do tell us what they're planning to use it for quite often. So most of how we sell is direct at events, and so we do get a lot of interaction with our customers. So yes, so people do have it on their toast, people will have it in their porridge, they'll stir it through yogurt, things like that. People do have it for sort of recipes and preparations and things like that as well. So we have sold it for people who are wanting to brew mead, which is very exciting, and I always hope that they bring some back to me because I'm rather partial to mead. We've had people using it in puddings, in chocolate recipes and things like this, and we've had people using it in cocktails and drinks like that as been quite exciting. Again, I would quite like them to bring that back and let me sample that.
Yeah,
I'm very interested in how that goes.
And does it taste different? Would Isle of Wight honey have a sort of a distinctive flavour, or
not just Isle of Wight honey, really right down to the location. So one of our unique selling points is we have hives in different locations around the Isle of Wight. So we're on 6 this year. We were looking at trying to do 8, but we didn't quite have enough hives to populate all 8. So if I list them for you, we're at St Helens, we're in Ryde, we are in Brading now, we're in Carisbrook, we're in just the middle of Newport, just by the Asda site, and we've got one up on the Downs above Wroxhill as well. And the flavours are distinctive between those 6 as well, and that's imparted by just what flowers the bees have been able to forage on. My mum has her apiary in Ryde as well, and they're less than a mile apart, and you can taste the difference between them, even though the range of the foraging bees will cross over.
That's amazing, isn't it?
So bees can fly up to 3 miles, but typically won't. They'll go to whatever's nearest. And so from just one side of Ryde to the other has an appreciably different flavour. Now that drives my mum mad, because there is such a thing as a honey palate. So some people can't taste anything through the sweetness.
Okay.
So when we are at a show, we'll have some jars out for people to taste. And I see the look of disappointment in some people's minds after I've kind of given my tasting notes and said, oh, you can taste this flower and this one and this flower and this flower in another one. And it, when people can't taste that, I really feel for them there, because I've probably talked with a lot of enthusiasm about it, and then they're unable to to detect it, and I feel that's terrible. I'd hate not to be able to taste it, because when we travel around the country or even around the world, we've not actually managed to have a foreign holiday for quite a while, but we'll always try and taste the local honey, and it's extraordinary how different honey can taste.
And could you identify, if I said to you, right, here's a jar from St Helens and here's a jar from Ryde, would you be able to tell which one was which?
I think I could probably rise to that. Certainly our own ones. I don't think you could give me a jar of honey blind from anywhere in the country and I'd be able to tell you that. I'm probably not that refined in my palate, but certainly our own honeys. I'd put a small amount of money on it that I could guess right where they'd come from.
Do you supply any of the local supermarkets? Because I know more of them now, like the Co-op, are taking sort of local.
Absolutely. No, I know the beekeepers that supply the Co-op, but we don't. So we sell direct. So we have quite a loyal base of customers, and we're not able to produce enough to be able to supply both them and the supermarkets at the moment, so I'm working on that. I'm trying to grow our number of hives and the amount of honey that we're able to produce, but I wouldn't sell via a shop if that risked letting down our regular customers.
Yeah. Do you take honey, Lauren? Because I know you have hay fever. Have you tried?
I've tried honey in everything. I'll put it in anything.
And does it help,
do you
think?
I make a really nice fudgy ganache out of honey.
Wow.
So there we go. If you ever need fudgy ganache, just add honey to it.
And Chris, do people contact you and say they've got hay fever? What do you think about that?
So that's a very regular thing. Now, I have to be honest with people at that point and tell them that there is no scientific link between honey and hay fever. So I don't even like to sort of weasel word it and say, oh, well, a lot of people buy it for that and things like that. There are scientific papers which directly say there is no link. And in honesty, nobody's ever, after I've said that, then gone, oh, well, I won't buy it then.
They still like the idea.
No, so I sell it based on it being delicious, on it being a raw natural product and tasty. If someone is asking me that, I will be absolutely honest with them and say, look, you know, there isn't any. If you want to try it, then you can.
But do you have people that come back to you and say, I've had hay fever and I've taken this and now it's improved?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, whatever's happening there, they're at least getting to eat something that's delicious in the process. Yeah. So that's
could be good. A lot worse, couldn't it?
Yes. It would be terrible if it was something dreadful that people thought cured hay fever.
Right, we'll hear from Russ Conway. We've got a track of his coming up next, and then we'll talk a little bit about how people can buy honey if they want some of your honey, how they can contact you, and about the county show as well. But first of all, here's a little bit more music. Well, that was a 60s tune called Side Saddle, and it was by Russ Conway. Right, we're here talking about bees and honey and hives and being stung and all that kind of thing. But we've also got a big event to look forward to, which is happening on Sunday, and that's the Isle of Wight County Show. And I know, Chris, you're going to be there selling honey.
Yes, so
talking as well.
Yes, no, so we're in the food pavilion. Yes, you can't stop me talking about bees. I will also be, I believe, on the main stage at one point talking about bees there. But yeah, our stall will be in the food pavilion there. You'll find us fairly easily. We've got Bunbury bees written large above us, and I'll have an awful lot of honey on sale there. And probably a few candles from our beeswax and things like this as well.
Oh, candles, yeah.
Also do experience days, so you can get a bee suit on and come and join us with the beekeeping, and so they'll be available to be booked at the event as well. And of course the county show is great for an awful lot of other things as well, so there's an awful lot to see and do there, and it's one of my favourite events of the year to attend, because every now and again, if I'm able to sneak away from the stall for a moment, there's a lot of stuff that I'm interested in also going on around there.
So tell us a little bit about the experience days.
Okay, so the experience days are very much getting close up and personal with a beehive yourself. So I'm acutely aware of how much I talk, but I try to make sure that people are in a bee suit and with a beehive as quickly as
when
they can.
When you see a bee suit, it's not a black and yellow stripy outfit.
No. So it is a protective bee suit. So I just run through very, very briefly.
So this is the big white suit with a face mask?
Most of ours are grey, actually. Oh, but yes, you've got the right kind of picture. Mm. So yes, so it's a hat and veil and an entirely covering suit. Under that, you want to also be wearing at least one layer of clothing to then be resistant.
Wow, so it's hot in this weather.
Yes, it is very hot work in this weather. It's a ridiculous way to make a living, really, where you wear the most clothes at the hottest time of year. We do the experience day for that runs about 3 hours, and my objective there is to make sure that everybody gets confident enough to actually then handle frames of honeycomb themselves and be able to identify what's going on. We positively encourage cameras as well. We make sure that there's plenty of photo opportunities for themselves with bees as well, and to go away having had a really impactful and fun experience with it. So
do you ever get anybody who's got a bit of a phobia?
Yes.
I suppose they wouldn't be coming to you, would they?
No, so people are phobic about bees. Mm. And that's natural. So the bees' aggression response, the bees will do quite a lot of aggressive behaviour before they go in for the sting, up to and including flying into you quite hard.
I didn't know that.
It's a lot like being shot with a BB gun. They'll fly into you head first really hard before going in for the sting. So
wow.
That can be quite extraordinary. The buzz is there, and that is evolved to stimulate a fear response. So, you know, it's not an irrational fear.
No.
And unprotected, of course, bees can sting you to death.
Yeah.
There's enough venom in there to kill you. So, you know, it isn't an irrational fear at all. I'm never, while I do it, I'm never dismissive of people who are very, very nervous around bees. That's entirely natural. So we haven't had someone with a really strong phobic response come on an experience day yet. I've had a few people talk about it, but to my knowledge, no one who's booked so far is like that. If someone did want to face that fear, I would be supportive about that.
Would you?
Yeah, absolutely. And we would modify the event to do that. So if someone did, in that circumstance, did want to come along and just try, we would make sure that they weren't pressured into going faster, into
you could get your
faster.
Friendly ones, couldn't you?
And absolutely. So the site that we host them at our Newport site, and I move my bees around different sites depending on their temperament. So the Newport one does have my absolute friendliest bees.
It's funny because everybody assumes that all bees are have the same personality, don't they? So I've learned something today. I didn't realise they were aggressive.
Angry bees.
Yeah. Angry bees. That sounds like a computer game, doesn't
it? We'll set that up. We'll make that
you need to market that quickly before any listener does. Yeah.
So, have you had anybody sort of come along and do the experience day and then go on and set themselves up? Do some people really take to it and really enjoy it and think?
Not yet. So it's a new thing this year. So
okay.
We've not really had time for that to go on. I don't think the experience day would impart enough knowledge in one event for someone to really have everything they need to know to be able to go on and do that. But I'd definitely be able to point someone in the right direction after an experience day to where to go to then finish the knowledge that they would need to get started. Most people get a hive before they know everything, and that's the right way to go around it. You want to know the basics, then get a hive, and then learn things as they come up with the bees. I've learned most of the body of my knowledge through problems coming up with my own bees. I got bees very quickly, and I didn't know anywhere near as much as I know now.
You can compare that experience to buying a horse or a dog. You know, lots of people have those kind of ideas. Oh, I'll go and get a puppy or something, and then you learn about what you have to do with it afterwards. Right, let's have some more music, and then we'll have a final chat. That's a song called Searching by Change. And it's just coming up to 3:07 now on this Thursday afternoon, and you're listening to The Afternoon Show with me, Caroline Diamond, and Lauren, and Chris Van Wyk from Bunbury Bees. So we're talking a bit about the county show. If anybody wants to buy your honey, Chris, how can they get in touch with you?
Okay, so we have bunburybees.co.uk, And we've also got a Facebook page, which you can find by searching Bunbury Bees. Any search for Isle of Wight beekeepers, if you're not sure on the spelling of Bunbury, you'll find that easily enough through Google. Similarly, we've got a YouTube channel. I've spent all of this year taking a camera out with me on my
YouTube channel. That's fantastic.
That is slowly growing, but there's an awful lot of videos up there. I know quite a few people like to watch the videos over their morning cup of tea. Some of them are quite long. They are put a cup of tea on and put it on, rather than sort of 3-4 minute videos. Some of them are, they're usually about 15 minutes of beekeeping.
Okay.
But that the camera is getting right in the hive there, so I like that channel to be interesting and informative. And then we also have a very good Instagram feed, again Bunbury Bees. If you do Instagram, there's an awful lot of really, really good photographs of bees and beehives and
Fantastic.
Our products there.
And if people want to buy them, is that through the website?
Yes, so through the website. If you wanted to get in touch with us directly as well, I'll deliver to the Isle of Wight for free. Most of our website traffic, if I'm honest, is for people off the island. The furthest we've mailed a jar of honey is Texas. I know people have bought and then taken to family as far as Singapore.
Excellent.
To my knowledge, I don't know if any have snuck any further than that. But yes, so if you can contact us through any one of those social media platforms, and I'll be able to arrange delivering honey to you on the island.
Brilliant.
We don't have a terrestrial shop, so if you wanted to come to us, it would only ever be at one of the events, like the county show or some of the Christmas fairs.
So people will be able to buy honey from you on Sunday. Then you'll have some.
Yes. So the honey stock is quite low. So last year we sold out. I had a very, very easy pack up at the end of the county show, which was brilliant. I actually have slightly less honey because the bees haven't had quite as magnificent a spring as they did last year. So there's a few less jars. So if someone is desperate to pick one up at the county show, I'd say get to us early. Don't hang around until the afternoon, because I'm thinking we may well sell out, and then I'll be able to go around and look at everybody else's stalls quite early in the event.
Great. Thank you, Chris. Thank you very much for coming in. It's been really interesting. And I hope you have a good time at the county show this Sunday. We'll certainly come along, because I'll be there with the Vectis Radio team. So we'll come along and have a chat and see how you're getting on, if you're not too busy. And hopefully it'd be great if you could come in again as a guest in the future sometime and tell us a little bit more about how things are going with the bees. I'm so fascinated by the friendly hives and the psychotic.
You want to meet one, don't you? You want to meet a psychotic
one. I'm worried now about meeting a psychotic one. You haven't brought any with you, have you?
No.
I keep looking around the studio to see if we've got one in here, but fortunately we haven't at the moment. But yeah, thank you. We'll look out for you at the county show. And if anybody wants to get in touch, if you do a search online, Bunbury Bees, you can find Chris's website and find out a little bit more about the experience days and the things that we've chatted about today. www.vectisradio.com